You're all wondering now, what is the backstory? Well, I was preaching in Dallas in a Latino church, phenomenal place. And the pastor said to me before, you know, the service, hey, how would you like me to introduce you, pastor or apostle? And I said, well, Jared's quite fine. And he said, well, I really feel like you're a lot more of an apostle. I said, yeah, but, you know, Jared's quite fine. We'll just go with Jared. And so then he introduced me as Reverend Bishop, Pastor, Evangelist, Apostle Van Berkel. And that was the sort of, I said, look, in New Zealand, I said, cool people just use their name. And if you want to be insecure with big titles, in New Zealand culture, it highlights your insecurities. So let's... I said, I'm all for giving honor where honor's due, but I once said to someone, they said, oh, you know, this, whatever. And it's actually, I'm God's son, and I'd rather you didn't demote me from that to an inferior title. So it's good. But, you know, to be honest, every now and then when people come up and they're like, oh, apostle, you know, this or that, you know, it does also have a nice ring to it. So, you know, I got some insecurities there as well. So it's all good. That's just a little bit of Kiwiana trying to fit abroad. So, yeah, I'm Jared, and I get to run Fantail Ministries, also known as Fantail Studios, and now also Fantail Academy. And really quickly, the way this ministry started, as any kind of great God thing starts, it started with an encounter with God. And I was pastoring for years, and I'd been praying for God to give me a three-month sabbatical so I can make a TV show about him. Because I had this thing in me, and I was like, God, I can reach more people with a camera than I can with a pulpit. So would you just give me, please, 3 months off pastoring so I can make a TV show about you? And then one night I had a dream, and I'd been praying for months and months around this. And then God came and he met me in a dream. And I was standing on a wooden bridge over a winding river, and I saw God wearing a three-piece suit, holding a briefcase, walking towards me. And my heart started pounding in my chest, my knees were going weak as he came towards me. And the only way I ever kind of describe it is he looked like the most expensive lawyer money could buy. And I thought, oh my gosh, he's dressed as Mr. Business. And he came and he met me on the bridge and looked at me in the eye and said, Jared, I don't want you to make a TV show about me. I need you to make hundreds of them. So you have to get a team together, launch a channel, and get started. And I woke up, like they do in the movies. I always thought it was so unrealistic. I woke up, bolt upright in bed, you know, where you kind of go, and kind of hyperventilating, looked at the time. It was 11 p.m., and I stayed awake for the rest of the night, knowing that that encounter had just altered the trajectory for the rest of my life. And I remember having this sense, and I had such a sense of exhilaration, and I felt like I had just won an internship to the greatest business on the planet. That I was being interning under Father God, and millions of people had applied, but I'd got it, and I'd never even put an application in, but Jesus had done it secretly for me. That Jesus had gone to the Father, goes, hey, what about my little brother? Let's get him involved in the family business. And then Grant would have, you know, he mentioned part of our mission statement on the website. Our in-house statement is a little more confrontational. And our in-house one, which we camp around with our staff all the time, is that we are called to create as an act of worship, to broadcast as an act of war, so that for him, through him, and with him, we would find the lost and activate the found for Jesus Christ through media. And so that is kind of like our heartbeat, is that when God gives us a Holy Spirit download of, I want a TV series on this or a film of this, our job as sons and daughters of God is to create in the effortless flow of his presence, to create something with the anointed one every step of the way, so that then by default the end result is anointed. And then when we release it, it's an act of spiritual warfare, of shafts of light penetrating dark places. And so I want to share a couple testimonies. I want to give a little bit of an update around family, and then I'm going to move into what I believe is a prophetic word and a series of statements for this house, for Living Waters, that God has been giving me throughout the last week. And then we're going to go into a time of ministry. And so recently, we've just come back as a family from the States, spent 3 months in the States, and we were filming a variety of TV shows over there, and it was amazing. God opened up a lot of favor for us. Who's seen Pastor Wiz and Mike Connell on our Deliverance TV series, Demons in the Doorway? And so we've released that online, but Shine TV are releasing that nationwide very soon. And an amazing thing is, it's already out? Yeah. Oh, look at that. There we go. No one tells me things these days. I'm so far behind. You know, it's amazing. I keep seeing things on our social media, things of TV shows and things. I'm like, I didn't even know the guys had edited that yet. You know, I'm just living in this constant blur. But that TV series, Demons in the Doorway, that is going to multiple broadcasters around the world. That will play on television in over 100 different nations. And the way that series came about, Shine TV contacted us and said, hey, look, we love what you're doing because we make all these TV shows as a charity. We're crowdfunded. People sew into us as a ministry. And we give all of our shows away and we give a lot to Shine TV. And they said, hey, we'd love to be able to give you money, but we can't. But what we can do is we could serve you. So we'd like to offer our whole studio to you, all of our staff, all of our equipment, whatever God would put on your heart, we'll serve you for a week. Come make whatever you want, and we'll just serve you free of charge. We just sew back in. And so we made that TV series for next to nothing because of just that favor. And then over in the States, God began to open up similar scenarios. We actually produced a second Deliverance series in Miami with a studio that just served us entirely freely and gave us all of their production equipment and everything like that. And then we went over to Dallas and we started to produce our first content purely in Spanish to start reaching the Spanish world with the gospel as well. And I'm sharing some of these weird things because we're going to come back and through a bit of a prophetic journey that God's had me on. Because the word that I want to share this morning, if you're a note taker, is the heartbeat of legacy. The heartbeat of legacy. I was recently in a meeting in Charlotte with some of the head leaders of Derek Prince Ministries. And last year we were over in Kenya producing a TV series with Derek Prince Ministries. And I found myself in Charlotte a few months after we'd finished the show and given it to them. And that'll be coming out on televisions all around the world shortly. And I'm sitting with some of their leaders, and they said, Jared, we're really excited about the documentary you produced and what God's doing with us in Africa. Because we haven't had a broadcast show come out of Africa for about 20 years. And we want to know, if you were kind of running media and giving us advice, what would you suggest we do next? And so for me, in my natural sense, this was a great opportunity. It was a bit of a wide open door to step through. But then Holy Spirit, you know, if you ever have these Holy Spirit moments where he speaks out of your mouth and you're trying to grab the words back as they're coming out going, oh no. And I said, wow, yeah, I'm actually really disappointed with what we achieved. And it's kind of like this lead balloon, just like whoosh, moment in the meeting. And they said, well, what do you mean? And I'm going, oh my gosh, God, what did you just say through me? I have no idea what you and I mean right now. So I'm stalling for time, trying to recover the situation. I go, you know what? Now, let's be honest. We made a great TV show. And it'll play on television all around the world. Millions of people will watch it and their lives will be impacted. And then it hit me, the revelation. I said, and you won't get another one out of Kenya for another 20 years unless you spend a small fortune to send me back. But if we had just gone there early, we could have run an intensive two-week film school with a whole lot of your team and a whole lot of locals in the area that are passionate about media. And then we could have picked the top two or three students, had them as interns with my team as we produced a documentary with Holy Spirit over the next two or three weeks. And then we could have left those interns as mentors for the rest of the class. Then we could have brought everybody into an online supernatural film school, training them how to be filmmakers that are led by the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, flowing in words of knowledge, revelation, and identity. And now, a year later, you'd have broadcast content coming out of that nation every week. But we didn't do that. We made a TV show. But we could have made disciples. And we just kind of sat there in the moment going, oh my gosh, this is such an amazing, fun idea with Jesus. And they said, how many countries could you do it in? And I said, well, how many countries are you operating in where Holy Spirit's doing amazing things? And it started this journey with me with Holy Spirit, where over the next couple of weeks, he began to reveal to me that as a family, as a media missionary family, Roanna and the kids and I, he wants us to head back to the States in September this year again, and we're going to run a part-time 12-week supernatural film school. We're going to film the whole school, package it up so that as we start going into developing nations, we can run intensives and then start bringing filmmakers into a school that will train them in their identity as media revivalists. And then it can be something that we can then begin to filmmakers in every language. Because a big thing on my heart is through media, across every major language group, to be reaching a billion people a year with the gospel through media. And to do that, we need thousands of our Father's storytellers. You know, it says in Luke that if they wrote down everything that Jesus did in his lifetime, all the libraries of the world couldn't contain it. Well, 2,000 years later, that problem has exponentially grown. Jesus is doing so many things everywhere. It is ridiculous. So it's on our heart as a ministry and as a family. We've taken our kids out of school. We're learning to homeschool. And we're setting ourselves up as media missionaries, as a family, to travel the world, raising and training thousands of filmmakers who will capture our Father's stories as they're led by his presence, releasing them in their own language, created through their own cultural viewpoint, so that their village, cities, and nations can get impacted for the gospel. So I just like that's kind of like an update of what we're doing now as a family, and I'd love your prayers with us. And what I could do, want to do now, just for a little bit of fun, I'm going to play a 90-second promo video, and we've just started releasing this as ads throughout Atlanta to start attracting the right students that Holy Spirit's drawing in for us to train. So let's take 90 seconds, let's watch this, and then we're going to begin to move into the prophetic word that I have for you as a church. So if there's anything as a church family you could be praying for us in the moment, in this season, we launched that school on the 12th of September, and we're just asking Holy Spirit to bring in the right students into that school. Lord, I'm like, God, I would rather have 5 or 10 of the handpicked people that you've got that we could take 12 weeks and sow into them that they would have exponential results for your kingdom than, you know, 200 people that just feels like managing a crowd. I'm like, Lord, bring the people in that are hungry for your name, that are sold out for your kingdom, that we could impart your revelation and your craft to them. They'd be trained in their identity as sons and daughters and their craft as your Father's storytellers. Would be a lot of fun. So I'd love your prayers partnering with us in that. There's one last little wee practical thing I'd love to do before we move on. My wife has got some clipboards with my daughter as well, who'll be her helper. We're going to pass around because people often want to know how can we stay updated with the ministry. And so we have a newsletter that we send out every few months. Don't hand it around just yet, Jasmine. I'll just explain it for everybody. So we do a newsletter every couple months, but we also do, for the people that are subscribed to our ministry, you get special invites to things that other people don't know about. And one of the special things that we just sent out last week to all of our ministry partners and subscribers, which we'll do a special email early next week for everybody here today that signs up, is that on the 25th of August, we are doing a private screening of the rough edit of our feature Holy Ghost documentary, Mana Atua, Following the Love and Power of Jesus Christ at Work Behind the Scenes in the Mongrel Mob and Black Power. So that's a feature film we've been producing alongside with Lucky Tokoha for 2.5 years. Had 75 hours of footage we've brought down to a 2-hour story following the lives of these gang members as Jesus begins to meet them exactly where they are, and we get to showcase what the Father's unconditional love looks like in some of our country's darkest environments. And so it's a rough edit, which means that it doesn't have the original score yet. We don't have all the animation and artwork for it, but it's like a skeleton. All the bones are there, and you can sit down and get a good sense of the story. And we're doing a private screening because we're wanting to bring a huge amount of people into the room and then give us all their criticism, all their feedback of the ebbs and flows of the story. So, you know, and then we begin to put all the muscles and skin up. We want to make sure that the skeleton of the story is the strongest it can be. So it's about getting 150 plus people in a room together and going, all right, tell us what you really thought. Give us the brutal feedback. We want to do this with the kingdom of God as best we can. We prophesy in part, we see in part, so let's bring the body together. What resonated? Where is your spirit coming alive? Where were we missing the marks? Because this is an apostolic release over the nation of what the heart of God can look like, and we want to hit that bullseye, so we want to bring people into the room to give us that feedback. And then there's a wee box on the form there as well. If you want to know more about how you could partner with us as a missionary family financially, just give that box a wee tick, and then we can talk to you a bit more like that. I'm very similar to Grant. I don't really care about money. I know that we've got favor, and God's given us favor for finances. And so we always like to go, well, look, there's an invitation, zero expectation. But if Holy Spirit would speak to you, you go, you know, I'd like to know more about what it would look like to partner with the Van Buerkle family as they travel the world, raising up supernatural filmmakers, can give that box a wee tick. And that's not committing to anything. That's just a, hey, I'm interested in a phone call or a cup of coffee about finding out more. Jasmine and Rowanna, do you guys want to pass those around? And Jasmine, if you can just help get those over to the left and just help make sure they make themselves away all the way around the church. And let's get into this word that I have for the church. I'm going to share two key testimonies today, and I don't share these stories very often. I've only shared them a handful of times around the world, and they're quite personal stories, and so I keep these ones pretty close to the chest, but they're to do with legacy. And as I began to feel what Holy Spirit was saying over the church, I felt like He highlighted these stories because there's been two key journeys that God's taken me on over the last 10 years that has begun to be a big key part of God unlocking the legacy of the kingdom of heaven within me. So the Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is within us. And that's 100% true, but there's another aspect of that, that whilst it's like it's a deposit of grace in us, but there is an unlocking that takes place in us as we begin to get discipled in Christ that then begins to release that kingdom through us. And I felt this was the statement that I felt the Father gave me all throughout the week, and I kept coming back to it, and it was a statement for Living Waters Church. And I believe that it's a statement for you corporately, for the house, but then I believe it is also personalized to each of you as individuals. And this was it: I am extending my legacy. And it was Father God speaking of Himself, the legacy of who He is, His kingdom expression within this church and within your lives. And He was saying, I am extending my legacy. And so I began to ask Him, well, God, what does that look like? What do you mean by extending your legacy? Can you give me a sense of what you're talking about here? And this was the first sense that came to me. It was like an extended sale. You know, when there'll be like a Christmas sale or something like that, and they're like, we got incredible deals, like everything must go, and it closes on this date, and then another ad campaign comes out and says, by popular demand, we've extended the sale by another 2 weeks. It was favor for the legacy up to this point, and it was meant to round off and taper out and close, but by popular demand, I'm extending the favor for the legacy to another period, another season. I had the sense it was like people sitting in a restaurant having a banquet, and the food in that season was really good, and as your plates were getting emptied and being taken away, and you're thinking, man, what a great meal that was. And then all of a sudden, totally unexpected, a second course was brought out to the tables. And it was like people were sitting there going, man, I'm already full. What I already had was extravagant, and then a whole nother second course was brought out. I felt like the Father was saying, in Him extending His legacy over this house, He was establishing His favor realm over the church. The next picture that came along with it was a father playing with his children, and it was bedtime. And then the children, as you know, kids can do, and sometimes my kids will get away with it, in this total cuteness and fun and vibrancy, they go, "Dad, can't we just stay up and play a little longer?" And you look at the time, and you already know it's like 5-10 minutes past bedtime, but that they're just, there's so much harmony, fun, peace, and joy. They go, "Oh, okay, let's just keep playing a little longer." And you know, normally at that point, my wife's like, "Well, that's on you then. I'm going to go to bed." But it was that sense of kids playing with Father God and the season coming to an end, ready for bedtime, and go, "Daddy, can't we play a little longer?" Two other kind of illustrations. You're like, "Man, Jared, you got enough allegories for this to sink a battleship." The other one that came through was, I saw like the word season two. And it was a television production series, like a sitcom, and the TV series ran, and it was really great, had a great character arc. All the actors moved into new things, their ups and downs, had a great season finale, and you're like, "What a great TV series." All the stories were getting rounded off nicely, and then it gets announced, season two coming. And it wasn't a sense of like one or two more episodes, but it was a whole nother season. And people weren't really expecting it. And I felt like God said this to me during the worship regarding season two. Don't expect the same storyline that season one had, but be encouraged the director hasn't changed. Different storyline, same master crafter at the helm shaping your story. The next picture I had was a painting taking place. It was a brand new picture, and some of the paints were different. Some of the colors were different. Potentially even it was moving from like acrylic to oils or whatever. But it was like all the ingredients around the paint were different. And God was saying, "So it's a different picture, it's a different style, it's different paint, but be encouraged, the artist has remained the same." Wrote down these two statements that I felt like Holy Spirit was releasing: the provision of his kingdom realm, and there is favor for you as individuals to be a part of this new season. An invitation, if you like, from Jesus saying, "Hey, coming into something new, and I'm focused on the legacy of my Father. And my Father is looking at his kingdom realm, and he's releasing an invitation to you with his favor because he's extending his grace and anointing over it." And I have no idea around the prophetic words that have been moving around the house at the moment. I have got no idea really about the season that you're in. The only things I really know about Living Waters currently at the moment, every now and then when I talk to Wes about how much money we need at Fantail for our next film, and he tells me how much money he needs for a church building and miracles, and goes, "Jared, be encouraged, my problems are bigger than yours." So that's all I know. So I don't know, as I share these words, prophesying in part, seeing in part, if they will land and resonate or if they fall flat, that's not really up to me to be too concerned about. I'm just going to share what Holy Spirit put on my heart, and you can weigh, you can judge, you can assess, you can test, and all of those good things. But I'm going to share two stories now from my own life, because what I want to do is, it's all well and good to say, "Oh, you know, the heartbeat of legacy. God's extending his favor realm for his legacy." And you go, "Well, that's some nice language, but what does that actually look like?" Jared, like, let's get practical. What does it look like to connect in and partner with God in a kingdom legacy realm? What does that even mean? And this is what I felt like Holy Spirit was showing me as I was praying into this and went for a wee walk in the dark last night down my country road. And I felt like he was saying, "Let everybody know that there's the invitation is pretty general. Like, it's a broad, it's a statement of, I'm extending my legacy realm. How that then impacts and lands on individuals within the house will be very much personalized and tailored for you. So I'm going to share two stories of how God has begun to unpack legacy and the revelation of legacy within me and what that's cost me to work out with Him to receive that revelation, but how it manifests in you could be the total opposite experience. But all I can do is to give a case study or a case example so you go, oh, okay, I have an understanding of what a version of this could look like. And then you can begin to lean into Holy Spirit, go, Holy Spirit, show me how you are personally, as my teacher, are going to teach me and lead me through this invitation and journey with you over the next season. So a handful of years ago, I'm not sure how many now, I'd say it'd be about 6 or 7 years ago, I was getting pretty frustrated with Holy Spirit, which is probably a reoccurring theme in my life. And I was complaining to God about our family finances because we were in a season where, I don't know if you've ever been in this space, or you might be there now, and then hopefully this will be really encouraging for you, where your Trade Me secondhand washing machine breaks down and you don't have money to replace it right away. So you're washing the clothes in the bathtub, praying for provision and miracles, and then getting a miracle provision, getting the washing machine fixed, and then a few weeks later, your car breaks down. And so then you are doing everything you can think to do, thanking God for promises, calling in promises, doing decrees, declarations, going out in the, during the night in faith, opening up your mailbox, is there a miracle sitting there? And then a miracle happens and you get your car fixed. You're like, oh my gosh, I knew God, you were faithful. I mean, I might have complained for the last 3 weeks that you weren't, but now I know that you are. And then your oven breaks down. And then you get another miracle and God replaces your oven. And this was my life for a handful of years. Broken, miracle, and this was my rhythm, and I was sick of it. And one night, after complaining to a bunch of friends about how sick of it I was, and how God should probably check his resume as a provider again, I had a dream. And this is generally how my life operates. God is really gracious, I'm prone to striving, so he waits for me to be asleep, and then he tells me in no uncertain terms what is up when I'm in a place of actual resting. So I'm in a sleep, and I'm talking to this little old lady, just a generic old lady, never met her before in my life in this dream, and she says, how's life going? And I went, well, not great, not bad, but not terrible. And she said, oh, interesting, tell me, how is fasting going in your life right now? And in the dream, I went like this. I went, fasting. What fasting? And I woke up from the dream. And I thought, wow, that Holy Ghost is a bit on the nose. And I had to go that morning to pray for a friend of mine who's a builder. And he was on ACC because he'd thrown his back out. And I knew that he was going to be dark and miserable because he'd been on bed rest for about 10 days. I went around to see him, knocked on the door. He opened up the door with a smile from one ear to the other ear. I said, hey, mate, how you doing? And he said, mate, I'm amazing. He says, I have got into fasting. I've been listening. Have you ever heard of a guy called Lou Engles? And, you know, Lou Engles is teaching me about fasting because I am fasting all the time. Fasting is changing my life. He still hasn't invited. I'm standing on the doorstep being like, all right, Jesus. You know, no points for subtlety, but I get the message. So the next day, I decide, I'm going to go, okay, obviously I need to pray and fast because then I'll get money because that's how it works. You complain about something, God tells you off for something, you do the thing, and then you get the thing that you wanted. Yeah, sounds pretty, yep, stacks up to me. And so I thought, but I better be extra spiritual because anybody could do a 24-hour fast and just drink water for a day. I need to show God that I'm cereal. So I'll pray and fast for like 32 hours or something. I'll do a day and a half. So I do a day and a half, getting towards the end of the day and a half, and it was grueling, I tell you. And I'm sitting down with Jesus, and I'm like, okay, I've prepared the groundwork. Jesus, I'm going to talk to you about my big problem. So that's why I said, Jesus, I have a problem to talk to you about. And then clear as anything and quick as anything, he said, yeah, but it's not your biggest problem, is it? And I went, what? He goes, oh, you have a much bigger problem than your finances. Do you want me to tell you what it is? It felt oddly rhetorical. How I was kind of taken aback, partly because of the clarity. Why is it, Jesus? And every time you want to tell me something, as clear as anything. I want direction for something. I got to pray and this and that. But when you want my attention, it is like, okay, now we're talking loudly. I said, all right, Jesus, what's my biggest problem? And he said, you've lost the cry of my heart. And it stunned me. Almost like took the air out from my sails, grabbed the oxygen from my lungs, and I just sat there shocked. What a brutal statement. And I didn't know what to do with that. I didn't know how to process that. I didn't know how to wrap my head around it. And I just kind of sat there in silence. Huh. This was news to me, but it resonated in my chest like crazy. It was like reverberating through my being. I've lost the cry of God in my heart. It's amazing how complaining will rob that from you. And so I thought, I don't know what to do. So I ate for a bit. Because clearly fasting wasn't working. But you know, I couldn't get away from it being so clear. So I thought, well, maybe I need to get the cry of his heart. Maybe it's not about provision. Maybe this is about capturing the cry of my father's heart again. I don't know how to do that. So I just fasted for 3 days. Nothing that much happened, except I got cranky. So I ate for a little bit, and then I fasted just water for 5 days. And then I was at church during worship, and all of a sudden, it was like a closed-eye vision. It was super clear, and it was in a comic strip format. And I had a picture of Jesus dressed as a G.I. Joe on a World War II battlefield with his dog tags flicked around in the ear, and he was turned and looking at me, and he had a crazed look in his eye, like a total wild man. And his caption was, light it up. And then the next picture was me standing behind them with a massive like 12-barrel Gatling gun. And then hot lead began spraying from it across the battlefield. Like, dish, 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 dish. And Jesus said, I want you to go into a really big fast now. Big for me. And so I ended up fasting for about 15 and a half days. Just water. And I know I'm not a great faster at all, as you can probably tell. And it was not at all glorious. It was not a great faith journey. I was losing a kilo of body weight every day and a half. And I was a guy that would stand up and then just fall over, walk somewhere, sit on a couch, stand up, fall over, hit your head on the side of a wall, all those sorts of things. I was just collapsing. My body does not handle it well. I'd be getting cold shakes and all of those things. And I remember being on an aeroplane halfway through it, and the air hostesses were like, are you okay? Because I was pale, dripping with sweat, shaking, and just, they're like, you look like you're dying. I'm like, I'm fine. And then, in the middle of this fasting, God gave me a really clear vision. And I was in my office at church praying, had my eyes closed, and I had a bird's eye view of the nation of Israel wandering in the wilderness for their 40 years after they'd come out of the land of Egypt. And I'm looking down at them, a bird's eye view, this vast mass of people. And Holy Spirit said to me, Jared, you are just like them. You know me as the God of provision. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just like them, I would give them manna from heaven. And it was enough for the day. But if they tried to save it and store things up for the future, it would turn to maggots. They had no ability to generate and develop wealth or provisions for future generations while they were in this season. They knew me as the God of provision. And Jared, that's how you know me. You go from one broken thing to one miracle to another broken thing to another miracle. You are stuck in a cycle of knowing me as the God of provision. But I am so much more than that. He said, now what? Notice when they cross the Jordan and then they go to war for the promised land and they begin to take territory. They got houses they didn't build and vineyards they didn't plant. If you would disregard your need to assess basically your comfort, your financial security, if you would put all of your questions around money and provision for your family and totally disregard it and seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, I will give you houses you haven't built, vineyards you haven't planted, and I will shift from not just being the God of provision, but you will know me as the God of legacy. You will have things for future generations. But you have to go to war for my kingdom. You have to go after territory in my kingdom realm. And you'll begin to discover me as a God of legacy. And that was like, it was a defining moment for me because it brought not a massive shift in the way I was doing life. I want to be honest. It brought like a 2 or 3 degree shift in my thinking and my approach on things. But that shift in trajectory was so important because a couple years later, God began to speak to me about producing these TV shows. And that trajectory and that faith journey that he led me on empowered me to step out in faith and do things for his kingdom that I never would have had the courage to do before. Because for me, provision was all about how God was going to take care of my family. But legacy is all about his kingdom realm and his kingdom coming on the earth and changing nations. And then, so that was the first step. The second step, God wanted to take things to another level. And this is the part that I hardly ever share anywhere. We used to own 2 homes. We had our first house in Invercargill that we bought when we got married. And then the house that we are still currently living in comes up for rent next week. And we plug there if you want to live out in the middle of nowhere in the country. And it's in our second house that we relocated a house from the red zone in Brooklyn, put it on a chunk of 10 acres that I inherited from my father when he passed away. So we had 2 homes, a house in Invercargill, and to be honest, the bank owned probably 95% of it, and it was a home in Invercargill, so it wasn't worth much to begin with. But to me, it was quite important, because my plan was we had the house tenanted out, so there were people renting it, and the mortgage was getting covered. And given enough time, it would be mortgage-free and keeping increasing in value, and it was going to be a source of provision for my kids. Now, I'm in church one day, and Glenn Fraser, Thrive, is preaching, the senior pastor, and he's reading out of the book of Acts where it says, you know, and then people would take a field and they'd sell it, and they'd take the money and they'd put it at the apostles' feet. And then Holy Spirit hit me so violently, I did it, crumpled over in the front row, because Holy Spirit said, your home in Invercargill is mine and I want it back. Glenn, being a bit of a cheeky muppet, just thought, like, because it's not that odd for me to just kind of have a Holy Ghost convulsion, just said, ah, did Jesus just tell you to sell a field, did he? And carried on. I'm sitting there quite indignant. And this was, like, I'll tell you word for word, my conversation with Holy Spirit. I cannot sell my house, God, and give you the money. He said, you know how little I make as a pastor. I don't make much serving you. As a wee Dutch nod to him, pay me better. See, God, you know how little I make. That house will be mortgage-free by the time my son is going to university. I am going to sell that house and pay for my 3 children's university fees, and with the leftover money, I will contribute to each of their first house deposit. That is my plan for that home, and you know how much I need that if I'm going to provide for my kids. And then sharp as anything, he just said, Jared, you can give your children provision, or you can give them legacy, but you cannot give them both. Either I'm their provider, or you are. Choose right now. I did what any Holy Ghost guy would do. I bent over and I started bawling my eyes out. But I had an ace up my sleeve. I could go talk to my wife about it, and Jesus could tell her something different. Holy Ghost, we are one. So I went to my wife and said, honey, I think Jesus may have spoken to me this morning. Henda, tears still streaming down my face, snot, all of it. She's like, you think. And I said, what did he say? He said we had to sell our house in Invercargill and give him all the money. And she said, I can go home and put it on the market after church. I said, well, I just felt like I should tell you about this because we really need to make decisions in unity and I really need you to hear God on this. So you should go away and pray about it. And she said, why? You just said that he told you. And I said, no, I said, he probably told me. Because let's be honest, I could be wrong. And she said, well, are you wrong or are you right? And I said, well, she goes, you know how to hear from God, don't you? And I went, yeah, I am right. She goes, well, I feel like if I go away and pray about it, that's just going to be a waste of my time. So why would I bother to talk to God and waste my time praying about something that he's already spoken to you about? She's a very efficient woman. One time we were praying for provision because we really needed it, and I was praying and interceding. I said, honey, come pray with me. She stood there with her eyes closed for 10 seconds and then said, amen. I said, is that all you got? Like, let's really push. She said, why? I just prayed. I said, yeah, but we've got to persevere. And she goes, well, I don't feel like my dad's the type of dad I have to nag, so I'm good now. I'm going to go read a book. And so I figured, all right, Holy Ghost, you want to rob me blind? Fine. I'll put my house on the market, and because you've asked me to, it'll probably be sold by lunchtime. We'll give all the money to church. It'll be painful, and we'll move on. Put the house on the market. Within 2 weeks, a whole lot of circumstances in our life shifted, and we started going backwards $600 a week. And the house didn't sell overnight. In fact, it took 6 months to sell. People kept buying it and then withdrawing their offers when they couldn't get finance security from the bank. And every week we're going backwards from the moment basically we put the house on the market backwards, $600 a week as a family. And it was devastating our finances. And we got right to the point where basically I could not look at finances, talk about finances, have any conversation to do with the realm of money and provision. And I said to Raina, I refuse to have a conversation with you about it unless the conversation starts with about Jesus and ends with about Jesus, because every aspect of my courage is weakly eroding in this process and I'm totally confused by what Jesus is doing. And we got to the point where we were almost totally broke. I think we were a week or two away from not being able to pay our mortgage or anything. It just bled us dry. And then the house sold. And I remember talking to God. I'm going, God, what the heck was that? Like, if you want me to do something, I don't even want to do it. I'm doing it for you. Why did you make it so flippin' difficult? And I felt like he kind of had a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek conversation. This is kind of how it felt to me. It was like, Jared, you know how you go to the gym and you like to lift weights? And that repetition and that stress and the strain builds you and make you stronger. I mean, you wanted to, you know, obey me. And I thought, you know what, let's put the house on the market. But then I got around with the angels and I was like, you know what, Jared? He's like signed up to a 2-week spiritual gym session. Let's be generous. Let's give him another 5.5 months free. Like, don't you want to get the most out of that season? I wanted you to get the most out of it. So I stretched it right out to grow you and grow you and grow you. So that whole season came and went. And then a couple years later, God met me in the dream and said, I want you to start making hundreds of TV shows about me. We launched the ministry. Fear of finances was still there, but a huge amount of it had broken off my life, which was important because there was no finances really to go with the ministry when we resigned from pastoring and started, and it costs a lot of money to make TV shows. And I began to see the dividends of that 6 months operating in my life now, the muscles that God graciously invited me into building and in the spirit realm. And we're about a year into the ministry and we start having these dreams of God's calling us to the States and beginning to reveal to us more around training people, and more countries begin to open up for our TV shows. We've got more shows, more people coming on board, more favor and momentum gathering around it. And then I have this picture of this dry ground and one green shoot breaking through the soil, the tiniest wee tip of blade. And Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, this is the very tip of the seed that you sowed when you sold your house and gave it to me. You're just seeing the very tip of it. And then, you know, in the last 12 months, I mentioned that Shine TV opened up their whole studio to us and just gave us that favor. And they've invited us in for another couple weeks. And then as we traveled the States, more studios did the same. As I was over in Miami filming with this incredible Christian film crew, they had the best equipment and they were just serving the vision and all of these things. I looked around and Holy Spirit began to say to me, see these people? You did nothing to train them. All of this equipment, you did nothing to see it come into the house. All of this favor, you did nothing to contribute to this environment and you are just receiving the benefit of other aspects of my kingdom. Said, this is the very start of what it looks like for you to receive houses you haven't built and vineyards you didn't plant. And so I share that, these two stories, not so that I look cool, because honestly, I feel like I was a Muppet during the whole thing, and I hope I've accurately communicated that in contrast to the faithfulness of God's patience. But that is a small part of the legacy journey that God is teaching me on. And his faithfulness and his provision that you'd be, you know, 5-6 years later, standing on the other side of the world, and God says, hey, now you're beginning to see the very first tip of that prophetic word. You're beginning to step into a little bit more of my legacy realm as you take your eyes off Jared, what you think you need in your world, and you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. So I began to just then ask Holy Spirit, and we're going to come to a ministry time now. And because I go, well, this is like a snapshot of how it's operated in my world, in my realm. But like I say, this is an invitation to the house of God saying, I'm extending my legacy. I am releasing favor for season 2 of my legacy operating over the house, and that is a general sense for the church, and then it is personalized for individuals. Maybe we could get someone on keys or something like that. I don't really mind. If you guys like doing that, then we can do that. If you love just having Holy Ghost and silence and being still, we can do that too. Whatever you normally flow with here is great. I'm going to open up the front here this morning, and I want to spend some time just partnering with Holy Spirit and just releasing decrees and proclamations over you this morning. And I'll probably camp out here with Holy Spirit because it's my most fun thing to do pretty much for a wee while. And so if you want to chat to me about the ministry or things like that, I'll probably be relatively unavailable for any conversations. I'll be away with Jesus. Then after that, I'll be slowly probably just coming down to earth a little bit. And so chat with my wife. If you want to talk about ministry, talk to her. She's the brains. But this is what I felt like I wanted to invite people into. A fresh invitation to receive the heart cry of the Father. For me, it all started when Jesus said, Jared, I know that you've got problems, but they are not your biggest problems. You have a foundational issue. That is, you've lost the heart cry of God. See, because when you carry the heart cry of the Father, there is an explosive love for Him and His kingdom that overrides rhyme or reason. Like, you will do things for love that you would never do in a normal situation. And when that heart cry begins to erupt, and it is a gift from God, you cannot earn it. You can only position yourself to receive it. And when that heart cry erupts in you, you mean, I don't care now what it costs me. I want to lay my life down. I want to pick up my cross. And I want to seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. And I will trust Him with every aspect of my life because I want to be a part of my Father's legacy. I often pray this, Jesus, as my big brother, would you teach me how to be about my Father's business? Jesus, I know the kingdom of heaven is a family business. And as my big brother who only ever does what you only do what you see the Father doing, Jesus, as my big brother, will you please mentor me how to be about my Father's business. Will you please help me capture his cry? Jesus, I want to be possessed by the cause of Christ. You know, and I keep having these different moments where I feel timid and afraid to go back to the States and all the finances that's involved in that. And God, what if no one signs up for the school? And, you know, it's one thing to fail in the privacy of your own city. It's another thing to do it on an international platform. And then I have these pictures of Jesus just standing there in that city saying, Jared, do you love me enough? Just come to me. Who cares? Who cares if nobody else comes? I'm calling you. I'm standing here with an invitation of intimacy. Come be a part of the heart of the Father's heart cry. And I know that we have challenges, and I know that there are often circumstances stacked up against us, and I know that we can walk through significant disappointment, and I don't want to belittle any of that. I have walked through deep realms of the shadow of death in my life and experienced deep disappointment, and in conclusion to every one of those, I have experienced the faithfulness of God to heal me in that and lead me through. So this morning, if you're sitting here and this declaration that I've had on my heart that the Father is extending his legacy invitation, if that resonates, you go, you know what, season one was great, and I'm uncertain of what season two might hold if I surrender and sign up to it. I don't know what paints the artist is working with, but I can trust the director or the artist is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, unchanging, unwavering. Totally in love with me, the lover of my soul. I want to surrender to you again, fresh Jesus. Would you impart into me the Father's heart cry? I want to engage in legacy, that it would not be thoughts consumed around me and my family or my children, but it would be the legacy of your kingdom. Like it says in Daniel, I saw a boulder cut out of the side of the mountain and it rolled down the hill. It smashed the statue and then it grew until it covered the face of the earth. God, I want to be a part of that kingdom realm. I want to receive your invitation to connect with your heart cry on a deeper level this morning. If that's you, I just want to invite you. Would you just come and just stand in the front here as a prophetic declaration. Jesus, I'm stepping into that legacy invitation with you. Jesus, I don't know what it might cost me. Your journey could look totally different to mine. You might step into it and Jesus just gives you a whole lot of free stuff. If he does, maybe don't tell me about that. I'll be jealous. No, I'm kidding. That would be amazing. Just have a sense now. I just felt straight away, I just felt God was releasing angels. My mum's just lent me a book. Remember, I haven't read it yet, but you know that old book, Angels on Assignment? It just, picture of it, it's on my bedside camera, just popped into my head, still sitting there. Mum's like, honey, you gotta read that book. I just felt like there's people walking up, there's those angels. God's like, I'm releasing angels on assignment. Angels love to partner with the saints. Man, they love to partner with the saints. They love to be with the ears of heaven. So, Father, I thank you that you're releasing angels on assignment and you're releasing right now utterances over people's life. There are circumstances around you. I just feel Holy Spirit is just like, even as a whisper, is like a thunder. And he's just saying, shift. 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 Holy Ghost, we just release the shift of the supernatural realm, mighty Jesus. Release the shift, and I declare the covenant of grace, that the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord, that your word is a lamp unto our feet. And God, I just thank you, and I declare that you are extending the Father's legacy over this house. You are renewing it for another season. And I just want to declare the budget of God's provision does not decrease. My Father only has one momentum and it's deep cries down to deep. So God, I thank you that you spare no expense in your kingdom resources as you assign your angels, as you assign the gifts of your Spirit, the fruit of your Spirit, the provision of grace, the empowerment to do all that you've called us to do. I just declare that in your realm, Father, there is no lack. Love it, it says in Psalms, either Psalms or Proverbs, I get them mixed up. Even young lions grow weak and hungry. Those who love me will lack no good thing. So Father, we just thank you right now for surrender. And I'm going to invite you into a prayer now where it's an offering as you re-offer yourselves to Christ as a living sacrifice. Nearly most great things that God does in my life are at the end of a process where he takes me through another refining of surrender so that I know that it's all about him. So I'm just going to lead you a super simple prayer. It's going to go like this. I'll tell you now so you know what it is that you're signing up for with him. And it's just going to be going, Father, I offer myself to you. I place myself in a position of you, and I am going to trust you. But Lord, I want to be a part of your legacy. I thank you that you see me and you call me into it and I receive it fresh. It's going to go along those lines. I'm going to lead you in that prayer now. Father God, I sit at your wonderful feet and I offer myself to you as I am. All that I am is yours. I receive your favor. I want to engage in your legacy. Would you restore my heart fresh? Give me the heart cry of the Father. Father, give me your cry. Father, put your heart in my heart. Give me passion for what you're passionate about. Holy Spirit, show me things in my life that practically have to shift and change. Oh, I'm just going to pray in tongues for a moment. So Roma Sandaramai. Gio Torma Sandaramai. Holy Spirit, yeah, I just invite your waves, Holy Spirit. Just come now, rolling over people, washing over. We thank you for the provision of Christ. Just coming right now, making old things new. Jesus. So Roma Sandaramai. Kioromo Sundorba Sandoroba Sieraka Sandaramai. Jesus, God, we just thank you for your touch. Jesus, just you're right now, you're overshadowing of the Most High. I declare the shadow of God just stretching out over people. Right now, I just declare there's a shadow of God's goodness and His provision and His comfort just coming around people right now. I declare the shadow of grace, the shadow of grace. As we draw near to Him, we step into His shadow, and His shadow and favor extends and stretch over us. Right now, Holy Spirit, I declare a fresh sound captivating people's ears. It's like a subtle, distant ringing and a harmony that would grow stronger and stronger and would cause your head to turn with more clarity in the direction of heaven as the sound of heaven begins to capture your imagination. I declare right now the sound of heaven capturing imagination and recentering focus, recentering ideals, recentering purpose, recentering provision, extending the kingdom realm of grace as imagination of heaven begins to roll through your thoughts and begins to uplift your circumstances from a fresh viewpoint. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Jesus, we receive you fresh. We receive you fresh right now. Mighty Jesus. Jesus, Lord, we just release your heart cry. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost.